Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
Thank you, Lee. I've made so many good friends through these years. I thank all of you for your warmth and support. Thinking back, I started out in earnest on my, no pun intended, Ernest Holmes, on my spiritual path in around 1980, I think. That's where I really started reading and looking. I just moved up to Atlanta from Tampa. And I'd get in conversations with people, usually fueled by a little bit of wine or whatever, and we'd get to spiritual topics and stuff. And in a one-week period, I had three different people from three different groups tell me, you got some weird spiritual ideas, you ought to go try this weird church I know about. And that was actually Unity. It was Unity North when it was held in the mansion up here. So this is back around 1980. By the time I got there, it was like 83 or 84. And after about a year and a half, I had a friend of mine who was a Delta flight attendant who I wasn't seeing there anymore. And I ran into her in Midtown. And she said, my boyfriend and I started going to a place at the Woodruff Arts Center. The guy's really a hoot. You might enjoy it. So I went over there in 1986 and never left. I was 10 minutes into the first talk, and I knew very well that was where I belonged. And Dr. Kennedy Schultz, of course. But and from there, everything just kept on going and going and going as part of my spiritual life. One of the things that happens when you make the decision to work on your own spiritual growth, which everybody here is because this is that kind of a place, is that you become more and more aware, not just of spiritual stuff, but you become more and more aware of what's actually going on in your life. And in the mystic tradition, which is a very spiritual tradition, this is what we call the awakening stage. That's when we start to become aware of whether or not we are happy and fulfilled living the life that we're living. Quite simply. And in the process of doing this, we start to become more aware of the things in our life that are working for us, the work, the friends, whatever it happens to be, and the things that aren't. We also start to become more aware that there is something greater than us, okay, some invisible energy that's doing things in the world. And eventually, if we keep paying attention and just keep putting one foot in front of the other, spiritually speaking, we even start to become aware that this power that is greater than us is not a power separate from us. It includes us. Okay? It's not even with us. It includes us. And if we get to that level, then we're on our way. All right? We're growing, and that's good. But sometimes when we become more aware of what is going on in our life, it creates problems for us because, and this may sound obvious, but I'm going to say it anyway, we become aware that some parts of our life are a mess, okay? And so instead of being unconsciously unhappy, like most of the world is today, if you go out there, we now become consciously unhappy. And that sucks. That really sucks, okay? I'm here to tell you, okay? And as a result, we become aware that things are going to have to change if our life is going to change, and that's not always fun. For whatever reason, we start to realize, and this is part of the spiritual path, we finally realize that we have spent a lot of years moving in a certain direction, making unconscious or misguided decisions, walking through doors that other people told us to walk through, being what we thought we were supposed to be, and now here we are waking up, spiritual awakening, in a place that we don't even recognize. In fact, that's one of the most frequent questions I used to hear when I was counseling full time. At some point in the conversation, no matter what the person came to me for, whether it was relationship, prosperity, health, whatever it happened to be, they would say in some way, how did this happen? How did I end up in this situation? Okay, it's like they've been sleepwalking and they wake up standing on the front lawn in their pajamas, if they're lucky. Okay? The funny thing is, once we wake up and we realize that our life is not where we want it to be, all most of us want to do is to have somebody tell us where we're supposed to be so we can go there. That's what we want. However, there are two problems with this approach. First of all, no one else knows where we're supposed to be. That's pretty straightforward. But the second one is getting from here to there, wherever there happens to be, is almost never a straight line. It's never a straight line. That's the really hard part for us to accept because we like straight lines. We like to know exactly where we're going. We want to know exactly where we're going. We want to know how we're going to get there, and we want to know how long it's going to take. We do, okay? But a newfound spiritual path, when we get on it, okay, at least in the beginning stages, is usually one that frequently changes speed and direction, sometimes at an amazing pace in ways that can sometimes seem to be confusing, illogical, and incredibly frustrating for us at the time. That's why it's so frustrating when we feel like, you know, we're finally moving in the right direction. I have finally got it all going, and everything seems like it's falling apart. It's very, very interesting. For example, here's an example some of you can identify with. We finally muster the courage to leave our old job, the one that was sucking the life out of us every single morning, and we find what seems to be a much better job, one that appears to be, shall I say, perfect, okay, and we are ecstatic because we finally made it. We finally broke the code. I am now spiritually evolved. Then we show up Monday morning, and the company just got bought out, and we got laid off, and we're back where we started. Anybody have that happen? Okay, several, all right. Or we experience a severe health problem, let's just say a diagnosis, and the doctor tells us that we need to have a biopsy, scary word, okay, but we come through it, all right, healthy, whole, with the help of a little spiritual work. I learned these magic tricks that I can do spiritually that heal everything, okay, and ready to live our life in a brand new way, all right, we maybe quit drinking, we start exercising, lose a little weight, things start to go really, really good, and then for no reason we can see or understand, we get hit by another health problem, which may very well cause us to doubt whether what we're doing is really working. I have seen it many times through the years, all right? In fact, here we go. In a number of cases, I have seen people go back to their old religion, all right, where they thought, let me get this thing squared away. Here we go. Where they had forgotten that they were really Catholic, or Baptist, or whatever it happened to be. And they go back because there they can at least ask God to fix things if they're good. All right? That's why they want to go back. Now, it may not work any better, but, you know, God bless them. We all got to do what we got to do. I think part of the problem is, and let me state this, and then I'll explain it. We are concentric beings living in what appears to be a linear world. All right? Now, some of you are going, what the hell does that mean? Let me explain it, okay? Now, the linear part is what I just talked about. We believe, because our senses and our brain are constantly telling us that our life is supposed to move in a constant direction at a constant speed unless something happens to change it. So, before we start focusing on spiritual laws and principles as the way things work, which is where we are now, we think, as most of the world thinks, that there's always some external cause, some person, some event, something outside of us that changes things in our life, either for better or for worse, like our family, the economy, the government, you know, fill in the blank, or maybe just a little good or bad luck. But after, there's before enlightenment and after enlightenment. Okay. Before we start focusing on God or spirit or a higher power or whatever as the real power at work in our life, we start to recognize our role in setting that power in motion, which is good once we start doing that. The problem is we still keep thinking that things are supposed to always work in a predictable, linear, and direct way. So we focus on a solution and we expect it to show up. But if it doesn't show up soon, looking exactly the way we thought it should look, we start to think that the spiritual stuff isn't working. You know, very little faith. That's what a lot of the Bible stories talk about. That's when we have to realize that we are concentric beings, all right? Emerson talks about circles within circles within circles, okay? Concentric means that we are at the center of the creative process. Let me say that again. We are at the center of the creative process. We're all individual expressions of the only creative power there is, and all of that power is present wherever we are all the time. That's pretty mind-boggling if you think about it. Because it means, if you think about, that if each one of us is at the creative center of everything around us, that we really are the center of our own universe. Each one of us. Now, please notice, I did not say that each one of us is the center of the universe. All right? It's different, okay? I said we are the center of our own universe. We can't be the center of the universe because the universe doesn't have a center. It doesn't, all right? St. Augustine, in around 500 or 600 A.D., he said, God is a circle whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere. Try to get your head around, somebody goes, yeah, try to get your head around that one, okay? God is a circle whose center is everywhere and whose circumference doesn't exist. Is nowhere, no boundaries. So each one of us, along with God, along with this power, is at the center of the circle of experience that we call our life. And our experience overlaps with everyone else's experience to create this thing we call the world, all right, or society, whatever it happens to be. Or another way of saying it is, kind of get this visual, each one of us is a small circle connected to every other circle, all contained within the one larger circle that has no boundaries, which is God. Pretty cool, huh? Kind of a pretty cool visual. Now, the reason I'm talking about this is because it profoundly affects the way we look at our life, or all of life, for that matter. I mean, people talk about being in the flow, especially in this teaching. I am in the flow, you know, I'm with the universe. And that's good, because being in the flow feels wonderful, right? How many people here have ever been in the flow? Did you like it? Yeah, we like that a lot. That's when everything seems to be happening at exactly the right time, in exactly the right way, easily and effortlessly, right? No hassles, no muss, no fuss, none of that. And I love it when things are working this way. We all do. But when we assume, which we do, that only being in a constant and steady flow is good, and being in an uneven or shifting flow is bad, it starts to skew the way that we look at the things happening in our life in the short term. In the short term. Because even though life itself is always flowing forward, onward and upward, as some people like to say, over the long term, it doesn't always flow in one direction or at one constant speed at any given time. It's sort of like a river. All right, rivers have different levels. There are obstacles, currents and undercurrents. There are places that are shallow and places that are deep, places that are fast and rough, places that are smooth and flow. Smooth and flow smoothly. There we go. If you take off to the west here at Hartsfield, all right, which is towards Alabama, for those of you that are impaired, and you look down, you will see the Chattahoochee River on either side of the airplane, full and south, and you'll see that it twists and turns like a snake. Over the years, it changes course. You'll see oxbows that are now lakes. They've been cut off, but the river itself keeps going. The important thing to realize is that nothing stops the flow, all right? All the things that appear to be stopping it are a natural part of it. They're a natural part of it. So maybe we need to look at our life as more of a rhythmic process that moves in and out, back and forth from this center that we are, where we think and feel and live, that I was just talking about. Each one of us creates an entirely different rhythm of our own at the mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual level, even as we practice being in harmony, which is another way of saying in the flow, with the rhythm of the people in our life, the rhythm of our job, because that has a rhythm, the rhythm of our prosperity, the rhythm of our body, all those different rhythms that we are contained in. And you want them to be in harmony. In harmony, okay? Every enlightened teacher throughout history, no matter what teaching you're talking about, tells us there is a natural rhythm or a natural pulse to the process of creation. But that pulse is sort of like a heartbeat. A heart doesn't beat at the same speed all the time. It changes when the demand upon it changes. The rhythm changes, okay? But it's still a natural rhythm that keeps flowing smoothly over the long run. And when we use this process, this creative process, consciously, we start to notice that there are different stages of this rhythm as we go along. It starts with desire at one point in our life, which is an inner drive for something greater. And then it moves from desire to awareness, where our mind starts to pay attention not only to what is, but to what could be That's a great way to be aware. Then we start to see ways in which the things that we desire could actually happen. And finally, we take action, but we don't do it in a linear way, in a straight way. Okay, we do it by moving forward, then moving backwards. We do it by trying different things. Some of them work, some of them don't. We do it by working, then resting. We do it by intense focus and then meditation and quiet. There has to be a rhythm to our lives, a give and take, or we'll exhaust ourselves. We will exhaust ourselves. But if we allow ourselves to move with the creative rhythm of life, sort of like the tides in the ocean, we'll eventually achieve something close to the thing we wanted to achieve. We'll manifest something that we desire, and then we can sit back and enjoy it. But eventually, once our creation has served its purpose, whatever it happens to be, whether we realize it served its purpose or not, a new desire is going to show up. And that desire, I once heard it described as divine discontent. You know, something's not quite right with this relationship, this job, whatever it happens to be. That new desire shows up and the process begins again. Desire, awakening, awareness, all these things. So the end of one creative cycle becomes the beginning of the next, again and again and again. That is the rhythm of life that we live in. We live within that, whether we know it or not. Now, unfortunately, this is the point where we get confused sometimes or even frustrated. This is where we start to think incorrectly that there's no point in trying to create something new. Why should I create a new job? It's just going to go away like the last one did and all these other things. That's when we try hard to hold on to the things we create because we think we won't be able to create them again. If we lose our money, we won't be able to get it back. If we lose this relationship, we'll never have another one again. If we lose our stuff, no more stuff. You know, that's kind of the mentality we get into. There's a book that I've used. Some of you have been in class with me in a prosperity class. The book is called Creating Money. For those of you who write things down, write it down. It's a great book for prosperity. How many of you have read it, been in class? A number of you? Yeah, a bunch of you have. The authors talk about a point in our life where it feels like the creative process is starting to unravel, or where it feels like it's starting to work in reverse, or it isn't working at all, where it feels like we've failed and everything's going to hell in a handbasket, as my grandfather used to say. And here's how they describe it. It's a short paragraph. They said, many of you think of this phase, the destructive phase, as a downward cycle. In truth, it is part of a natural cycle of birth, death, and rebirth. It is the old leaving, paving the way for the new. And then it says, if things aren't working as well as we would like right now, if we aren't as happy as we used to be with our career, for example, or with a relationship, we may be getting ready to expand and move up to a whole new level. That's a different way of looking at it, to a whole new level. What we have to realize is the natural rhythm of life encourages us to grow because it creates a space that leaves room for something new. But it doesn't just happen once or twice. It happens over and over and over again. I mean, we can't inhale unless we exhale, all right? The tide can't come out, go out until it comes in. The sun can't come up unless it goes down. I mean, think about it. If somebody got upset every time the tide went out or the sun went down because they were afraid it wouldn't come back, two things would be true. One thing is they'd be upset on a regular basis, and some people are, okay? And second, nothing they were worried about would ever happen. It would never happen. In spite of what they see in the moment, the tide's going to come back, the sun's going to come back up, because that's the rhythm of life. I know people who think like that, okay, and so do you. Whenever things are going the way, I've seen it so many times here, whenever people have a good job and money's coming in, they feel prosperous. The minute that paycheck stops for a moment, they don't feel prosperous anymore. So who's in charge? Them or the events, the effects, whatever it happens to be, okay? Whenever things take a detour or get a little uncomfortable, they immediately anticipate that things are going to keep going that way, deteriorating in that direction. That is linear thinking. That's linear thinking. Their doctor tells them there may be a problem, you know, and before they even have the test, they've already convinced themselves they're dying, dead, cremated, and forgotten, you know, before they even got there and had the test, okay? Or the economy gets a little bit shaky. Maybe a few people are laid off and they wake up in the morning and they say, oh my God, I'm going to be homeless. That's the direction it's going to be. You see, the rhythm of life is not just a catchy phrase or the title of a song. It is a statement of how things work in the world. Yin and yang, the Taoist theory, stop and go, up and down, in and out, ebb and flow, all constantly moving, but in perfect balance. I guess what I want to know is, why do we always focus on the downside of the equation, okay, rather than the upside? I can't tell you how many people I have talked to who have had real amazing successes in their life who still get frightened or worried when things go wrong. So much that they can't even function sometimes. They stop focusing on the good stuff. They stop seeing the world as a place of opportunity instead of a disaster waiting to happen. Instead of looking up at the sky, they're always looking at the ground. Their motto on the T-shirt, you can tell them, it says, every silver lining has a dark cloud. Okay, that's her motto. And the first thing I always want to say to somebody like that when I'm in a conversation, which I try very hard not to be in, but sometimes it happens, you know, is, look, you've succeeded before. What makes you think you can't do it again? You're bigger than this. You're smarter and stronger than anything that is going on in your life. Get ready for the next cycle. Get ready for the next pulse, for the next growth spurt. Get ready to heal. Get ready to prosper. This is not the way things are going to stay, unless, of course, you decide that this is where you want them to stay. And some people do. But the universe never stays in one place. It continues to flow this way and that, back and forth, but always forward. And if we are ready, as I talked about last week in the Ready Talk, it'll take us along with it. It'll take us along with it. So, what are some things that we can do to get more in harmony with this rhythm that continues to flow, not just in us and as us, but through us and around us? Because that's what we all want to know. How can we keep our balance when things change, especially when they seem to be changing for the worse? Well, the first thing we have to remember is things do change, and sometimes they change a lot, all right? And they do this for one good reason, because they're supposed to. Because they're supposed to. Our body changes. Our relationships change. The way we relate to our job and our money changes. We're going to talk a little more about that stuff next week. But instead of being upset when things change for the worse, instead of complaining about how good things used to be, all right, or taking it personally, we should welcome it and expect it, all right? And the bigger the change, the better. The bigger the change, the better. Because chaos, which is the word for massive change, can be a great place to start creating from. To start creating from, because it has no boundaries and no preconceived notions. That leaves a lot of room for us to do something, not just something, but something big, something life-changing. Next, we need to stop trying to control how and when things are going to change. I mean, if there's an infinite intelligence ready to create through us, I would say there's a better than even chance that it knows the best time and best way to do what needs to be done. I just have gotten to the point where I trust that without our advice. I have a friend, he's a minister in this teaching down in Fort Lauderdale. Some of you know Chris Michaels. And years ago, I remember him saying in a talk that he got up one morning and he put a post-it note on his computer that said, "Dear Chris, I will not be needing your help today. Love the universe." You know? He said that really helped him, okay? I mean, I needed some electrical work done in my house. What did I do? I didn't pray for it. I called an electrician, told him what I wanted done, and he did it the best possible way. All right? God does the same thing and doesn't charge nearly as much, okay? All right. We can also stop complaining about how our life is going compared to how other people's lives are going. I mean, for one thing, we don't really know how other people's lives are going. And why would we want to live someone else's life anyway? Why would we want to do that? I mean, everyone has their ups and downs. We just don't have them all at the same time, and we don't have them on the same scale. I was at dinner with some friends a number of years ago, and one of them was talking about a client of his. He was a Buckhead hairdresser, and he said there was this amazing older woman, probably in her 80s or even her 90s, fabulously wealthy, very elegant, lived in a huge house up off West Paces, traveling the world every few months, and anyone who saw her would say, that's the life I want to be living when I'm her age. However, he said, she was also a Holocaust survivor. Very interesting. And we got into a discussion about how these two different phases, these two extreme phases of this woman's life were so different, but they were also very connected. They were very, very connected. The pain and suffering she went through in the death camps, as horrible as that was, laid the groundwork for the life that she is living now, that she's enjoying now. Did it have to happen that way? No, of course not. Okay, would she have chosen that if she had a choice? Probably not. But that's the way it happened. The point is, even in the depths of the most terrible tragedy that anyone could imagine, this fabulous life was ready to unfold. She couldn't see it then, but it was ready to unfold because life is always ready to expand and to unfold more. It never ends. It never dies. No matter how bad things seem, they can always get better. And given time and the right consciousness, they will. They will get better because that is the rhythm of life. We also need to be flexible because the opportunity that works best for us may not look like we think it's going to look. It may be right in front of us and we don't even see it. Our path to incredible prosperity may in the beginning look like financial disaster or a stock market crash, okay? Our path to incredible, powerful love in a relationship may look at first like heartbreak, and that leads to something better. Our ticket to health and longevity may look and feel like a heart attack. I know people that have gone down to great health after having that kind of a scare. It happens all the time. People hit bottom and then they rise to the top. And we may think that the good that comes out of the bad is some sort of a miraculous recovery, but it's not. It's not at all. It's natural. It is the upward part of the constantly flowing rhythm of life. Finally, we need to recognize that the way we're living now, even if we love it, may not satisfy us 5 or 10 years from now. It may not. We need to anticipate that the people we love may someday leave us or will leave them for some reason, the unexpected. The way we earn or invest our money may not work in the future. The career we have chosen may cease to exist. Futurists are telling us that in 10 years or less, 75% of today's technology will be obsolete. Obsolete, okay. This isn't because the universe is falling apart. It's because life is moving forward, and that's the way it happens. The time for us to prepare for these kinds of cycles in our life is not after they happen. It's to prepare our consciousness before they happen, before they happen. We need to think about them now, not as dangerous possibilities that we need to react to or avoid, but as marvelous opportunities for growth that haven't shown up yet. And if we do find ourselves in a position where we feel like we are stuck in the trough of a wave, we should stop feeling sorry for ourselves and prepare for what comes next. You know what comes after the trough of a wave? The crest. Always, always, always. And if we don't prepare for it, if we're just busy whining and complaining down in the trough, when that wave goes back up, it is going to pick us up and toss us around like a piece of driftwood. That's just the way it happens, okay? It won't be personal, but it's still going to hurt. It's still going to hurt. But if we expect it, because we know that rhythm is happening, and if we're prepared, we can ride it as far as it goes. And when the next wave comes, we can ride that too. A good friend of mine was born and raised in Hawaii, and he once said that the best surfers in the world don't spend much time on the beach. They stay out in the water waiting for another wave because there's always going to be one. And they expect to wipe out on a regular basis because if you ain't falling, you ain't trying, and you ain't learning. That's what they're doing, okay? But when it happens, they're not afraid of it, and they're not ashamed of it. Their opinion is, this is the way it works. I am immersed in this up and down cycle that they call the waves, all right? That's how life works. That's how life works too. It's actually very easy to fail if you want to. Anybody want to know how to fail? I'll tell you how to do it. And that's not wisdom, that's experience, trust me. Just don't try anything new, difficult, or different in your life. Guaranteed failure. Don't try anything new, different, or difficult. And we can always do that for a while. Some people try to live that way, but eventually things change around us so much that we have to do something different or we will die. We may not die physically, but life as we know it will certainly end and we'll be forced to change whether we want to or not, and probably not in a way that feels very good. If you and I are the way that God works in the world, which is what we believe, then there's nothing that can ever happen to us or around us that we can't use to create more love, more happiness, more money, more fun, more success, more passion than we have ever experienced before. And you can be sure that whatever it is, if it isn't here right now, it's on its way. So I highly recommend you get ready for it, because this is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine. And so it is. So it is. Thank you. Thank you. Let's take a few moments for ourselves. Right now, here in this beautiful space, with all these positive conscious minds around us, hearing the beautiful notes, recognizing that we live in a universe that is in perfect balance, but it never stays in one place. We live in a universe that responds to our thoughts and beliefs, not the ones we wish we had or used to have, but the ones we have now. So we are constantly creating a framework for our life. And we build that framework with our thoughts. We can build that framework out of fear and resentment and despair and anger. Or we can build that framework of our life out of love, kindness, respect, peace, and joy. We can use these frameworks, whichever one we create, in every different part of our life, in building our prosperity and sharing it generously with those around us, by creating loving relationships, not just with our husband or our spouse or our partner or our wife, not just with that person, but with every family member, every friend, every neighbor, every person, of being kind at every opportunity, and of allowing ourselves to be at peace to contribute that peace to a world that sorely needs it. So I no longer allow myself to focus on the things that happen in the world that seem so tragic and terrible. I recognize that even though they are real, they do not need to have any power. No tragic event that I see in the news needs to change the fact that we are capable of creating heaven on earth. As all of us begin to shift our own individual consciousness, our own individual thoughts and beliefs, we touch everyone around us, and these circles join together into the circle that is God, that is a power for life, love, light, peace, power, beauty, and joy. So knowing this, I accept the gift of the creative power that has been given to me as part of my spiritual birthright. I accept it, and I use it wisely and well. Knowing this, I give thanks for this awareness. I give thanks for being awake. I give thanks for being open to something greater, not just for me, but for everyone and for the world at large. And I give thanks for having the tools to do this. I accept this truth as my own. I embrace it. I share it with others. And I release this knowing into consciousness, letting it do its good and perfect work from this moment forward. Join me in saying, and so it is.